It's been a year and a half since the underwater explosion and oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico, and Antonio Chujas reports that things there are still a mess, both ecologically and economically.
Still in the Gulf Coast today, there are 2-mile-long mats of oil from the oil spill that still float around in the ocean, carried onto shore through storms, through waves. There's also a layer of oil from the spill that is still coating the bottom of the ocean.
Chujas, a longtime critic of the fossil fuel industry and author of The Tyranny of Oil, notes that this has devastated the shrimp and oyster fisheries along the Gulf Coast, and many other species also remain seriously affected.
They're finding impacts of the oil and the chemical dispersant through a wide variety of fish species, and that the impact has been long-term. The chemicals are being found within the blood cells of different variety of fish, and that's a year and a half after the disaster. So there's great concern that the remnants of the oil are going to have a very long-term impact.
In her new book, Black Tide, Chujas documents the ongoing damage from the massive 3-month-long oil spew. With their fishing and tourism industries reeling from the disaster, she says, the coastal residents are being hurt further by BP's slow and partial response to the damage claims the oil giant had promised to pay.
Even though there's a great deal of hype around the $20 billion that BP made a pledge to put aside for all of the oil spill-related problems, at this point, only 1/3 of the claims that have been filed with BP by local people impacted by the disaster have been paid out. Only 1/3. So there are thousands and thousands of people waiting to get economic recompense, much less get back on their feet again.
The recently completed investigation by the U.S. Marine Safety Board is a bleak indictment of just about everyone involved in building and operating the Deepwater Horizon drilling platform. But Chujas calls attention to a detail deep in the report, which analyzes the failure of the blow-up preventer, the mechanism at the ocean floor wellhead that was supposed to insure against exactly this sort of disaster.
One of the findings was that the blow-up preventer may not have functioned properly simply because it couldn't handle the weight of the pipe between the blow-up preventer and the rig. The 5,000 feet of pipe was just too much. Now, that means that any rig at 5,000 feet or deeper is at risk of this type of explosion.
In her continuing critique of the petrofuels industry, Chujas also widens her focus in Black Tide to notice the interconnections between deep-sea drilling and the war in Afghanistan, which she contends is about access to additional reserves as well as jihadist geopolitics.
Afghanistan has about 1.6 billion barrels of oil. It also acts as an energy corridor, a path through which oil companies would like to get oil out of the landlocked Caspian region and natural gas out of the Caspian region so that those resources don't have to travel through Russia, but rather can come out by way of Afghanistan, then Pakistan, then India.
The Afghan pipeline issue dominated local news coverage when she visited that region earlier this year, Chujas says. Far more than the reporting on the comparable Keystone XL tar sands pipeline that's been seen in this country. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.